It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
On a cool but sunny late November day, I enjoy observing my flock of sheep dotting the pasture. On the whole, they look sleek, fat, and healthy, but the two senior ewes, Nilifer, who's 13 years old, and the unnamed number 45, who's 12 years old, present a somewhat sad contrast. Both have been scrawny for years, so scrawny that for the last couple of years I've only had them sheared in the spring, not both spring and fall, like the rest of the flock. We decided that with little body fat, they would need their full pelt to keep warm. Their wool wouldn't grow back fast and thick enough to insulate against the winter weather. I'd always assumed that the old ewes' scrawniness was just a function of their age, much as many humans diminish as they get older. Both ewes have hearty appetites, both can keep up with the flock as it moves about, and both lambed successfully last year. These are all indicators of decent health. Also, they're both very people-friendly. But several weeks ago, Nilifer and 45 were among the half-dozen or so flock members who suffered with diarrhea and or had other indications of anemia, signs of potential infection with parasitic worms. I administered medication to all half-dozen and was immediately successful with the younger flock members. But Nilifer and 45 both required a second treatment. And even after the second treatment, number 45 continued to have the runs. I consulted the vet, who recommended yet a third treatment, and if the diarrhea did not resolve in a week, that I bring in a stool sample to try to diagnose her. The lab analysis told us that 45's problem was not parasitic worms. While the absence of resistant parasites is good news, the bad news is that the symptoms could mean other causes, like Jones disease, J-O-H-N-E, a microbacterial infection of the gut that results in poor food absorption, or another wasting disease. I asked what she would recommend, and she responded that I could test for Jones disease, which would be done with the stool sample already submitted, but could take 12 weeks to get the results back. Or I could wait and see if she was suffering from the cold in the winter and euthanize her if she was. Or I could cull her now to avoid spreading whatever she has. Naturally, I hate the idea of culling an animal that seems otherwise quite happy, with a hearty appetite, and is in no distress. But I hate equally the idea of exposing the rest of the flock to a disease for which there's no effective treatment, though I find out apparently there is a vaccine. Is this dilemma beginning to sound familiar? It reminds me of some of the difficult decisions our government authorities, listening to the advice of their public health experts, must make to deal with COVID-19 and other diseases. We don't cull humans, but we do isolate or quarantine them, or forbid them from engaging in economic activity, in order to prevent spreading infection broadly. Getting the balance right is not easy. For now, I've opted just to get the test done for Jones disease. My decision not to cull was informed by the resolution of 45's diarrhea, and by my learning that Jones disease develops slowly over time. If this is the cause of 45's and Nilifer's several years of scrawniness, others in the flock are likely already infected, and waiting another 12 weeks won't matter very much. If the test does come back positive, I will consider culling the two oldest ewes. But in any event, I'm going to try to obtain vaccine for the rest, though vaccine is thought to be most effective only in young lambs. I'm relieved that if I decide to cull these ewes, it will affect nobody outside this farm. That makes it unlikely that I will be vilified, harassed, or threatened by political activists who object to disease control measures that impinge on any activity, even when that activity spreads deadly infection. This Thanksgiving weekend, we've learned that there is an Omicron variant of COVID-19 of concern to the World Health Organization. The variant has spread quickly in South Africa, where vaccine hesitancy is apparently a major factor in the low vaccination rates, even though vaccine availability was a problem earlier. Even before any Omicron infections are identified here, our country is preparing for a fifth surge of hospitalizations and deaths. This surge is also fueled by vaccine hesitancy and resistance to wearing masks. At the same time, we hear that President Biden's approval rating has hit new lows, largely because of inflation and supply chain disruptions, which are byproducts of the pandemic. Yet vaccine opponents and anti-maskers, who are contributing in major ways to the problem, are among the ones who judge him most negatively for not finding the solutions. The know-nothingism that's extending and possibly intensifying the pandemic leads me to fear that the doomsayers among us may be right. It's the same know-nothingism which denies the human role in climate change and opposes spending money to mitigate it. The sort of know-nothingism that creates crises and leads to political instability and makes me despair of any real solution happening. In the early 1960s, Stop the World, I Want to Get Off was the title of a lighthearted West End musical in London. Sometimes, nowadays, it becomes my motto.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.